Children, you are dismissed for children's church. Have fun. Parents, sorry you're stuck with me, so. All right. Perfect. So, as some of you know, I am redneck of rednecks, so we'll see if me and technology get along pretty good today. All right, we'll see how this goes. All right, so we are going to be in Proverbs. We're going to be continuing on in our study here. So, we're going to be working in wisdom in work. So, we're going to be looking at what does it look like to exercise wisdom at work. So, we're going to be in Proverbs chapter 6, primarily in verses 6 through 11. Main idea that we have, the big idea here, is work isn't a necessary evil. It is a joyful avenue through which we glorify God. So there is a kind of a common thought in our society that work is something you have to dredge through. So for those parents in the room, how many times do we have you had the conversation of, come on, you got to clean your room, and you have the eye rolls and the, and that kind of stuff. How many times are we guilty of, I guess I have to go mow the lawn and those kind of things, right? I'm guilty of that. There's two types of people in the world I'm finding out, those that love mowing the lawn and those that do not. And I am the one of those that don't. You can hate me later, but I don't like mowing the lawn. I have other things to do than sit on a mower, but I'll do it. But anyways, but it's not a necessary evil. I was reminded this week, I was talking to a gentleman, he's a Christian business leader, and I was reminded talking to him that work was present at creation. Adam and Eve, when they were created, were given a job to do. It wasn't a part of the fall. They were given a job to do at creation. So work was present there. It is not a necessary evil, but instead it's a joyful avenue through which we get to glorify God. So we're going to look into what's that look like. So in Proverbs 6, we see Solomon give a call to the sluggard. And so the call to the sluggard, which I don't know why Pastor Jared gave me this one. We'll see why. I don't know if he's calling me a sluggard or not, but we'll see what's going on. But there's a call to the sluggard or a call to the lazy person here. But verse 9, I sent these notes to David a little too early, I think, a little too early in the morning. That's supposed to say verse 6. That's my bad. But verse 6, it says, go to the ant, O sluggard, consider her ways and be wise. So it's kind of interesting. Go to the ant. So why are we going? It's an interesting source, right? It's a go to the ant, O sluggard, consider her ways and be wise. Why are we going to an insect? What is it about an insect? What is to be gleaned? What is to be learned from an insect? If you think back to when Solomon began his reign, early on in his reign, he was approached by God in a vision, right? And God asked him, what would you request? And Solomon said he didn't ask for the death of his enemies. He didn't ask for riches untold. He asked for wisdom. He said, I need to know how to rule this kingdom I've been given. I have no idea what I'm doing, and I need wisdom. And so God said, okay, here you go. And he gave him wisdom, and wisdom that was renowned. People came from all around. They heard about the wisdom of King Solomon from nations all around, and they came to hear from Solomon, and they came to test him. They came to to see what he was all about. And so King Solomon, he got to see the world in a very unique perspective. He got to see the world through this divine level of wisdom. And I was talking with Pastor Jared. We had coffee a couple weeks ago, and I was talking. Sometimes I find myself envious of King Solomon, the way he got to see the world. Right? He looked at the world with this divine level of wisdom, and I almost find myself envious of it. I wish I could see the world through his eyes. But then the more I study this, I kind of found out, you know, I recognized that that was a silly statement because we do get to see the world through Solomon's eyes by reading Proverbs. As we read through Proverbs, we get to see the world through his eyes. And he looks in here, and I can almost picture, sometimes my imagination goes wild. Some of you that know me know this. And I'm almost picturing King Solomon sitting there. I don't know if he was on a walk or if he was sitting there eating a meal, but just seeing this ant, I don't know if it picked up a morsel of bread or what, but he watches this ant go to work. And he just looks at this and says, look at the ant and consider her ways and be wise. Look at what she's doing. So what does she do? Well, look at verse 7. It says, without having any chief officer or ruler, so there's no direction. There's no leader. There's no direction. There's no guide. So there's no leader, no guide, no direction. But what does she do? She prepares her bread in summer, and she gathers her food in harvest. Now, Solomon wrote Proverbs to his sons, right? He wrote Proverbs as a guide to his sons to be wise. Now, I don't know enough about it, but I don't know if he was writing this, if he had a son in mind. I don't know if he had a lazy son that he was really annoyed with. And like, just would you look at the ants, you know, look, she's working, you know, but I don't know. Also, but Solomon, he's ruling a kingdom. Oh, losing my hair from there. Solomon, he's ruling a kingdom, and he's walking around, he's seeing plenty of examples as well. Right? So there's every people in every range of life in his kingdom. And so he's seeing different people in different stages of life. And so there's plenty of people, plenty of examples that he has in his mind. But he looks at the ant and says, if everybody in my kingdom behaved as this ant, where would we be? Right? Look at her. She has no ruler, has no direction. But what does she do? Well, first off, she practices what I'm calling proactive faithfulness. She has no ruler, no guide, but what does she do? She prepares her bread in summer, all right? So when there's time, she works, right? She thinks ahead. So in other words, she knows the right thing to do, and she does it. She doesn't wait to be told what to do. She doesn't wait to be told that's the right thing to do. She just does it because she knows it's what needs to be done, so she does it. She practices proactive faithfulness. There's times in our lives where we know what needs to be done, we just really don't want to do it, right? There's times, and we're going to get into more examples here a little bit later, but there's times in my life, and this might be too many, this might be getting too personal, but there's times in my life I wake up in the morning, I really don't want to go to work. You know, there's times I wake up, it's cold, right? We live in Iowa, it's cold in the winter. And, you know, I start making through excuses. I drive a diesel truck, and like, it'd be real hard on that old truck to fire up in the morning, right? I don't know if I should go to work this morning, right? But I know the right thing to do, right, is to get up, get my truck started, and get to work, because that's what needs to be done, right? There's proactive faithfulness. And so she doesn't just work to work. She works with a reason. So there again in verse 7, in verse 8, says she gathers her food and harvest, so she prepares her bread in summer, and she gathers her food and harvest, so she's proactive, so there's proactive faithfulness, but what else is there? She's working with purpose. She's working with purpose. So there's times we can get into this, I don't know, I call it sometimes the idol of busyness. We just get ourselves busy with no reason. All right, we just get ourselves running around doing all sorts of stuff, and we just get ourselves really, really busy. In other words, another way to put it, there's activity without accomplishment. Right, we get ourselves doing a whole bunch of things, but not really with any purpose, not really with any reason. There's times where we can keep ourselves busy with activities, we can keep ourselves busy with hobbies, we can keep ourselves busy with also, and nothing about it is inherently bad. But if we're falling short on our responsibilities, if we're falling short on providing for our family, if we're falling short on caring for our main responsibilities, then it's activity without accomplishment, right? There's no purpose behind the work. Do you see the difference there? So she's not only is she proactively faithful, not only is she busy, but she's busy with a purpose, And so again, so I can see Solomon just sitting here looking at this and just looking at this ant picking up whatever it was doing. You guys have seen ants, right? Sometimes it really annoys us if you're in your kitchen and you see this ant. Like, I've seen a lot of heads nod, right? Like, we don't like seeing them in our kitchens, but they're there, right? But sometimes you can't help but admire and respect them, right? You know, they can pick up, I don't know how much of their weight. I'm sure if I asked my son, he could tell me to the T how much percentage of their weight they could carry, right? But they pick up all this weight and they're carrying over, but they're just so uniform and so persistent and dedicated, and they just go over there. But Solomon's looking at this, watching, like, if everybody in my kingdom acted and behaved this way, man, how great would we be, right? Look at her and consider her ways. Be wise. Act as the ant acts. My wife and I had the privilege, we got to go to Brazil on a missions trip, and we got to go to a camp. It was a Word of Life camp down in Brazil. And when we went down there, it was right next to the jungle. It was really cool. I joked around saying it was the Amazon, but I don't think it was the Amazon. It was just the jungle. It was Recife, Brazil. But they were cooking our meals with monkeys jumping over top of them and things like that. My stomach was feeling a little queasy, but then I looked and saw that they're washing the dishes with a garden hose with monkeys jumping over it. But we had a blast. It was a great time. But they took us for a hike. And when they tell you you're going for a wilderness hike in Brazil, they mean a wilderness hike. There was somebody going in front of us lighting off fireworks to make sure snakes weren't going to be on the road. But when we went there, we saw this highway of ants. That was incredible. There was this like 3-inch highway of these ants that were walking up, and they were going up a tree, and they had stripped the tree bare as they went up the side of it. It was crazy as they went up there. And then we went over and we saw the mound, their ant hill, and the guy's like, yeah, careful. And I laughed, and a friend next to me is like, oh, Jake, careful, I'm going to push you into it. He goes, no, don't do that. And we were laughing. He's like, well, of course I want to do it. He goes, no, that's the kind of one that if you go into, like, you don't come out of that thing, because the ants go to work. It's kind of creepy. So we took 3 steps back, and we were good on that one. But the ants, they're dedicated. They're fast. They work. They're diligent. But they're looking for that small little creature, the work they can get done, because they're proactively faithful, and they work with a purpose. So there's this call to the sluggard or to the lazy. Okay, look at this small, insignificant creature. See what they can get done by being proactively faithful, working with purpose. But now, this is where I might, because this is the fun part to talk about, right? How cool and fun the ant is. Now I might lose you. So bear with me. There's the warning. Now we get into the warning. So there's a warning to the sluggard. Verse 10 says, a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come upon you like a robber, and want like an armed man. So here is something that gets really kind of difficult to talk about. The warning to the sluggard is this. We are in a culture right now that we tend to make light of any sin, right? We can see it, the comedy movies that are out there. We make a joke of sin. And I'm guilty of watching, you know, even lighthearted movies and things like that. We can see that they throw in little jokes and things like that, and I'm guilty of it. I laugh at them and things like that at times. But we make light of sin. And laziness is not any exception. Laziness is something that we make light of in our society, and we make light of in our culture. But laziness is a serious issue. God's word makes it very clear that laziness is a serious sin. It's a serious issue. It's not something that we should be making light of. I think every romantic comedy out there, rom-com, has the lovable goof, right? That's the lazy one without a job, but everybody loves him, and oh, little Jimmy, it's okay, and that kind of stuff, and has that lovable goof that's just lazy, and it's a laughable matter, and those kind of things. But the warning here is that it's serious. The warning to the sluggard is this is a serious offense. And so what do we see? Verse 10, a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. It doesn't take long. It doesn't take long. How long will you lie there, O sluggard? When will you arise from your sleep? So there's the question, and then the warning. It doesn't take long for these things to add up. There it is. It doesn't take long for these things to add up. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands. All right? Now, as you look in there, there's the easy examples. Again, I mentioned earlier, there are two types of men in the world, the ones that love mowing the lawn and ones that don't. I'm firmly in the ones that don't. It does not take me long for my yard to get out of control. I mowed one time last year, and my kids were so excited. They said, "Wow, Dad, we have a hay field." I had windrows up and down my yard, and the kids were excited when we were going to get a hay baler out there to bale up our yard. It was kind of embarrassing. There's sometimes our neighbors, we have wonderful neighbors who are incredibly patient with us, but the joke is I know when it's time to mow because my neighbor will come down and mow the top of my ditch and come back, and he doesn't mean anything by it, but I'm coming, I'll get it mowed. But he's a really good guy. We love him to death. But it doesn't take long for these things to add up. It doesn't take long for these things to compile. Now, a lot of times what will happen is these things start to add up. These things start to pile up. And then what happens is what we do in human nature is these excuses start to add up. And the excuses start to pile up. And then we start blaming these things, and we start blaming circumstances, and we start blaming these things. And then a lot of times in human nature, guilt starts to get in the way. And we start being paralyzed by our guilt. We start being paralyzed by different stress and anxiety, and all these things add up. And then what happens? Well, eventually, laziness leads to destruction. It says, poverty will come upon you like a robber and want like an armed man. It eventually will lead to destruction. Now, I want to be very, very sensitive here as I teach this. It's important to remember a couple things. One, proverbs are wise sayings that are generally true. Okay, so these are not promises and those kinds of things. We want to make sure we're careful here. These are wise sayings. These are sayings to live your life by. These are concepts of living your life. These are concepts that we apply, and if you have a life defined by wisdom. But there are times that our lives will be hard, and there will be struggle in your life. So there may be some of us out here, I know times are hard. I filled up my truck, and I cried a few manly tears as I was filling up my truck, right? Not really, I'm not that tight. I'm not that cheap. But gas is expensive, right? Groceries are expensive. Times are hard. I'm not unsympathetic to that. And so there's some of you out there right now might be saying, Jake, you have no idea. I am working my tail off, but it's still hard to make ends meet right now. Are you telling me that I'm being lazy? Are you telling me it's my fault? And if that's the case, if that's you this morning, I'm telling you, no. If you're working hard, if you're doing the best that you can, but things are still tight and life is still hard, my encouragement to you is that's okay. Keep doing that. Right? That's my encouragement. Keep working. You're doing fine. Right? I'm not telling you that if right now if your budget's tight and things are hard and you're working, I'm not telling you that you're being lazy if the budget's tight at the end of the month. What I'm telling you is don't give in to it, right? What I'm telling you is continue to work hard, continue to be diligent, continue to be proactively faithful, continue to work with purpose, and continue to apply these things. And then you also continue to apply next week. We're also going to be going into wisdom and finances and things like that. We continue to apply those concepts as well. But all those things, you apply these concepts, but you keep doing what God calls us to do to be faithful. We continue to apply those things because it's about honoring God in your work. Right? That's what we have to keep doing. So again, if that's you this morning, I'm not sitting here calling you lazy if life is hard right now. I'm not calling you lazy. I'm telling you that it's okay. Keep working. Keep working hard and keep being diligent, keep doing what you need to be doing because that's what God is calling you to do. There's a couple, is it working? There it is. We're going to get into that in a minute. But there's a couple other verses here I want to look into that give us, because Proverbs has a couple more things to has a couple more things to say about wisdom. But Proverbs 11, Proverbs 10, 5 and 6 tells us, he who gathers in summer is a prudent son, but he who sleeps in harvest is a son who brings shame. So again, you see that same thing. Verse 4, I missed it, but verse 4 says, a slack hand causes poverty, but the hand of the diligent makes rich. He who gathers in summer is a prudent son, but he who sleeps in harvest is a son who brings shame. All right, so again, we see that same thing. It's being diligent, it's being proactive, and it's working with that purpose. And then we have the last one here is Proverbs 12:11. Says, whoever works his land will have plenty of bread, but he who follows worthless pursuits lacks sense. So again, it's that same thing. It's not just being busy to be busy, but it's working diligently with purpose. Right? It's working diligently with purpose. So I'm going to recap here before we get into, a little bit more of the application here. But the ant, when you look at the ant, what does it do? It has proactive faithfulness. It knows the right thing and does it. And it works with purpose. And there's the warning. We take laziness seriously. We work hard because God calls us to work hard. And if we don't, if we're not careful, we know that laziness, refusing to work diligently, refusing to honor God in your work, will eventually lead to destruction. So understanding that, let's move into a few things here. What does it look like? So, what does it look like in work, in business? This is something that I've been kind of convicted of. Because there's times at work, things get really frustrating at times. I love what I do. I have the privilege of being a lay pastor here, and I love what I'm passionate about is teaching and preaching. I love to teach God's word. I love to preach God's word, and I love to disciple. And those are things that I'm passionate and I love doing. But I work a full-time job as a director of operations where we make eyeglass lenses. So we're a factory where we make eyeglass lenses, and I oversee a crew of about 30 people. And there is times where the best part of my job is working with people, and as Pastor Jared loves to say, also the worst part of my job at times is working with people. And there's times where I beat my head against the wall. And trying to feels like I'm beating my head against the wall, and it feels like I'm talking to myself. And there's times where you pour and you invest into somebody, and then you get a text and they say, "Yeah, I'm just done." I'm like, "What do you mean you're just done? We were doing so good. We're doing yeah, I know, but I don't want to come in today." Like, but we were doing. I know you told me. And anyways, that's a long story. We could go into it later. But anyways, but I get frustrated and I get tired and I get worn down. And there's times where working with people that sometimes it feels like they don't align with your values and things like that. And it can get tiring. It can start to wear on you. And it can start to feel like you're just, what am I doing? Am I really doing any good? Am I really making any progress? What's happening? And there's times where you get into these seasons. So what do we do? Well, what does it look like? Well, I called this man up. His name was Luke. And I kind of let him know some of the frustrations that I had. And he kind of sat there with this little smirk on his face because he'd been there where I was at and he's been there before. And he kind of smiled and he said, "You know, Jake, here's something that you need to hear." He said, "You have a unique and specific sphere of influence that you've been given." And I said, I know. And he said, "I know you know that, but you've forgotten who gave it to you." And I kind of sat there and I said, "What do you mean?" And he said, "God gave you this unique and specific sphere of influence." And I said, "Okay." And he said, "And you're wasting it." And I'm not. But anyways, but he said, "You're wasting it." And he said, you're wasting it because you're whining. You need to get over it. And I'm like, oh, okay. Anyway, so now we're in a, but so what does it look like in business? What does it look like to be diligent? Well, we work with a different motivation. We work with a different motivation. Our lives should be characterized by hard, diligent work. Now, I want to give a little disclaimer here. Money's important. Right, inflation's tough right now, right? And eggs are expensive, and things like that. Gas is expensive. Everything's going up. Money's important. We need it to live. We need it to provide a living. But our primary motivation is we exist to glorify God, right? And that's in everything we do. Our motivation at work is we work hard to bring God glory. That's our motivation. That's our primary motivation. And so when people see you at work, they say, "Man, that person." He's in the front row, so I'm going to pick on him. But like, man, Sean Kelly, he works hard, and he works harder than anybody here. I don't know if they say that about him or not, but we'll just say that they do. I'm sure they do. But they say, Sean Kelly, he works hard. He works harder than anybody here. What is that about him? Why does he work so hard? All right? But people should notice that about us. Why? Because we work hard to bring God glory. We work hard to glorify God, because that's what we're called to do. That's what wisdom at work is all about, is bringing God glory through the work that we do. So one of the things that I've been convicted of in my life is one thing that we shouldn't be said as a Christian at work is I'll start doing that when I'm paid more. And I've said it. And so I'm not up here saying I haven't said that. I've said that in the past. Not a couple years, but I've said it in the past. And I've heard other people say it in the past, is I'll start doing that when I'm paid more. Right? That's above my pay grade. Right? If money's not our primary motivation, if our motivation is to work hard to bring God glory, then we work hard to bring him glory. And we do what's asked, and we work hard. Now, if there's another job we can go get where we're going to go get paid more money, then I would encourage you, go do that. Right? Go take care of yourself and go take care of your family. But if you've been given a job, remember, you've been given that job by God, right? And you've been given that job by God to bring him glory, right? And so we don't want to be making excuses. We don't want to be making excuses, and we don't want to be giving a bad testimony while at work, and we don't want to be giving bad testimonies to others. We glorify him in what we do. We glorify him in the work we do. So we glorify God because we work with a different motivation. All right, hopefully that makes sense to people there. All right. So we do that at work. The other thing, and this is one other thing with this one, and again, I'm trying not to, Pastor Jared gave a really good thing about exegetical preaching, so I'm really trying really hard not to be the storyteller. But growing up, I grew up in a blue-collar household. Does anybody else grow up in a blue-collar family? If you want to insult a blue-collar man, what do you tell him? If you want to insult him, you shake his hand, and you say, man, those hands are so soft. What moisturizer do you use, right? All right, soft hands, that's an insult that cuts deep, right? I grew up with a blue-collar family. Everybody was blue-collar in my home. My father had really rough, calloused hands. My brothers had calloused hands. My uncles had calloused hands. So I grew up, I wanted calloused hands because that's what work was. That's what work was calloused hands. And I remember when I first started getting calluses from throwing hay, they were right here. And I remember feeling like, yeah, I got calloused hands from throwing hay. And I shook somebody's hand and they noticed the calluses on my hands. And I had made it. I walked out 10 feet tall. I was this tall, but I was 10 feet tall because I had calluses. But work isn't physical labor. Work is diligent service to others, right? So no matter what jobs we're doing, diligent work is diligent work, and we need to work hard in whatever sphere of influence that we have to bring him glory. All right. At home, what does it look like at home? Some of us are in a walk of life where we work at home. Some of us are in a walk of life where we work in a place of business. So what does it look like at home? We work hard to maintain our homes. That's one of the primary areas where we do it. We work hard to maintain our homes to glorify him, to bring God glory. So this is something where sometimes I've been convicted of this in the past. This is a professor at Faith used to tell us this, but he said, you never come home from work, you come home to work. He told us that quite a bit. So when I come home not from work, but to work. This is something that Hannah and I, this is one way that we apply it. We made this decision before we started having kids, but work is not a bad word in our home. And so we do not use work as a punishment in our home. If our kids are acting up, it's not whoever acts the worst has to go out and weed the garden. We do that as a family. We do that together. This morning, this is a side story. Liam loves to come in and listen to me practice. Because I do this in front of a mirror to see how bad I sound. He comes in and he asks me if I'm talking to God. I'm like, no, I'm just talking to myself, bud. But I pray out loud sometimes, and he asks me who I'm talking to. I say, I'm talking to God right now. And he goes, oh, okay, I'll just listen. When I was bringing this point up, he goes, yeah, and that's really fun when we weed the garden, Daddy. I said, great, you keep holding on to that. But we enjoy working together. We want work to be a fun word, not a bad word. Right? Each of our kids has a job to do. Our kids have chores. They have a job to do in our home. They take care of the animals. We have some rabbits and chickens and things like that. They take care of them. Little Liam, he's 4. He takes care of the dogs and the kitties. He has a job to do. We want our kids to learn that work is important. The other thing that this looks like at home is I'm going to talk to all the adults in the room. This morning, and sometimes I'm going to do this because I was a parent in the church. As a parent here, our kids, we're raising up the next generation, right? And our kids listen to everything everybody says, right? They're sponges. They hear everything. So not just parents, not just grandparents, not just aunts, uncles, sisters, brothers, not just that. Any adult. Right? How do you talk about work? Because kids hear it, right? They hear it anywhere. How do you talk about work? Is it a necessary evil the way you talk about it? And someone comes up to you on a Sunday morning, hey, how was this week? It was awful. Like another day, another misery. How do you talk about work? Because kids hear it. We want to talk about work not as a necessary evil, but in a way that we're glorifying God. All right, so we want to talk about work well in our home. We don't want to use it as a bad word in our home. We want to talk about work well in our home. We want to present work well in our home and in our churches. All right, so work, again, not a bad word. Work is a good thing, which brings us, again, some of you guys are sitting here saying, finally, work, again, is not a necessary evil. It is a joyful avenue through which we get to glorify God. Remember, you guys have been given, each of you have been given a unique avenue through which you get to glorify God. Some of us in here are retired. Some of us in here are still working a full-time job. Some of us are working a part-time job. Some of us are at home. And some of us are in school. In any walk of life, work is still a part of God's plan. And so how are you viewing that? Is it a necessary evil or is it a joyful way that you can glorify God? So that brings us to the next step here. How can you use work? How can you use your work to honor God in your life this week? How can you use your work to honor God in your life this week? Again, this isn't just in a place of business. This isn't just in... This is any walk of life that you're in. We all have been given a sphere of influence. How are you using that? How are you using your work to honor God in your life? There's a connect card in the pew in front of you. If you're a visitor with us this week, we encourage you to take one of those and fill that out. If you would like to get in touch with us, we'd love to reach out to you. There is a little wooden box over there by the side of the sound booth if you want to put it in over there. Also, we have a QR code right here that you can scan there. If you're more tech savvy than me, you can scan that there and fill that out digitally if you would like that as well. But I'll give you a few minutes to fill that out, and then we'll pray and we'll finish out our service. But how can you use your work to honor God in your life this week?